From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of November, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, BHP has decided not to buy Potash Corporation. South Korean officials are upbeat about a past free trade agreement deadline with the United States. And a farm minister from Argentina has confirmed his country is in talks with China to clear the way for corn exports from the Southern Hemisphere nation to the PRC. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And stay with us all the way to the end of the half hour. We'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss today's global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. From the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished higher. December contract in the soft red winter wheat at $6.72¾, up 3.5 cents today. March at $7.12½, up 3, and the May at $7.35, 2½ higher. July wheat at $7.48½, new crop settled 3¾ higher. December wheat in Kansas City at $7.32½, up 2½ cents. December corn futures $5.55½, up 21½ on a Monday. March contract at $5.69, 21 higher. May at $5.75½, up 20¼, and July corn $5.79¼, up 20½. December futures at $5.19 for next year, up 9¾ cents. January soybean futures $12.86½, up 17½. March at $12.93¾, 16¾ higher. In the May soybeans, $12.90¼, up 13¾. July at $12.90½, up 12¾. November at $11.94, up 17 cents. December meal at $3.48.10, up 8.40. December bean oil at $52.47, down 6 cents. Mercantile Exchange December live cattle futures 99.22½, 82½ higher. November feeders at 112.40. They are unchanged, of course. January contract at 115¼, up 65 cents. December lean hog futures $69.62½, up 65 cents in Chicago. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil futures, $84.81 a barrel, down 7 cents. Ethanol at $2.20 and a tenth, 6⅔ cents higher. Natural gas at $3.86½, that's 6⅙ cents higher. December heating oil or diesel fuel just 0.7 cents higher at $2.37¼. And the gold futures on the afternoon, a settlement price up $3 at $1,368.40 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 11,256, just about 64 points higher. The dollar at 78.51 is up 0.42. And the CRB index at 306.05, that's up 2.45. on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region, actually for the Urbana-Champaign area. As it comes from the National Weather Service, they say for this afternoon, should see a few scattered sprinkles, partly sunny, a high near 55 degrees, south-southwest winds between 7 and 14 miles an hour. And then this evening, mostly cloudy skies, a low about 35, south winds at 6 miles an hour. They'll come out of the east. Tomorrow should be a 30% chance of rain afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies, a high near 54, east winds at 5 to 9. Tomorrow and then Wednesday evening, a 40% chance of rain before midnight, mostly cloudy, a low of 33. Thursday should see sunny skies, a high of 43, Thursday night mostly clear, a low of 28 degrees. On Friday, as we head into the weekend, sunny, a high of 52. Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 37. Saturday, sunny, a high near 55. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy, with a low of 46 degrees. On Sunday, should be mostly cloudy, with a high near 58 degrees.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Tim Wells in Moline at 309-797-7369. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us by phone. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Let's talk about this marketplace just a bit and what's been happening in the markets on this Monday afternoon. What did you see as we made our way through the day?
Well, kind of a reversal of fortunes from what we're looking at from Friday close going home there. Fundamentally, we offset sort of the technical and fundamental news that we saw late last week with some enthusiasm of Chinese business coupled with other world export sales being generated too. So it sort of stopped the downward momentum in its tracks there and gave the market a little bit of breath here as far as putting the market in position to recoup some of the losses that we saw from last week's technical and fundamental event there, Todd.
It was kind of an ugly day, definitely on Friday of last week. And then the news today was basically out of Argentina, I thought. But and how did that turn into a good day for what's happening in the United States and the corn market? Because Argentina, as we'll hear a bit later in our program, a farm minister there confirming that they're looking to actually export corn to China is the idea that if Argentina is going to export corn, they'll come to the United States first?
Well, the news is sort of a domino effect or kind of generating some other anxiety to get some coverage on. The big thing is the timing on the Argentine demand. Is it near term here or is it a year or two from now? The way I understand it, there's probably some clarification that needs to be brought between the two countries on the GMO side of the equation. I believe about 80% of the corn in Argentina is GMO. So for those varieties not already approved, there needs to be some approval there. So basically with China in the process, obtaining corn from Argentina is quite bullish to the world corn market from the standpoint they've got record high prices in China. They have record high production of corn in China, but yet they're coming to the world market to secure more inventory. So that suggests that if Argentina is not able to fulfill that demand quota, they could come here to the U.S. Then plus two, other countries needing corn or end users needing corn could come here to the U.S. too and secure supply. So it's kind of a news item that if it holds true here, this could be quite bullish as we move down the road here, as we already are at historically tight stock-to-use ratio on the world scale, Todd.
What's your gut tell you about this? Are we at a place where the market's making the decision about moving sharply higher or simply dropping back, or is this consolidation for a moment?
Well, that's a no-win answer to your question.
Wow.
From a point of a technician, from a point of a trader, from a point of a producer, we can spend all day attacking each one of them. But I got to respect key price reversals to the downside, suggest that, we've got a top in place. So today's price action gives life back to the bull or the producer here to give them opportunity to have a bounce here to get caught up on sales. For those who are along the marketplace, this is an opportunity maybe get some put protection or covered positions on here in case this demand news does not follow suit. If you continue to watch the players and talk to the main players and what they're doing here, we're still in a liquidation mode from the funds. Yes, they were buyers today, but the short-term trend it has rolled over here. And 50% retracement, 62% retracements back to the upside warrant as a spot to watch here to stop the trend here, Todd.
You mentioned a key reversal to the downside. How important is it to you that key reversal to the downside was higher on the high and lower on the low, of course, last week than all of the previous 4 weeks, which would have been when we gapped higher?
Well, the significant is, yeah, we had bullish news or positive news, and we failed to go higher. And it was huge volume day, and it was people getting out that's been the long the market. And that's the greatest fear we've talked about clear back last summer, the huge fund position. Yeah, it's great when they want to buy, but you cannot force them to stay long. And if they want out, they're going to get out, and they did that last week, and that's very evident last Friday if the limit down moves just clear across the board. So that's what you got to face, and they're hard to compete with. They've got more money than I have, so you got to kind of respect what they do. But on the flip side, fundamentally, there's still hope down the road, because if China needs to buy, they're going to buy, and it doesn't matter what price at or what the dollar's doing or what everything else is doing, they'll be a buyer.
If the speculators get out, doesn't that just leave the market to float back to where it would have been naturally? So when as they got in, the marketplace might move some with them, but only as they're buying or as they're selling, but not as to a price overall over the time. So doesn't that give you hope that if we're here, we've rebounded just a bit today, that as you said, fundamentally the marketplace is looking at a fairly tight supply of corn and of soybeans as we go into the future?
Yeah, fundamentally you have to remain optimistic, because the fundamental situation is relatively tight. And confirmation of that was due to basis improving on the rally here. End user was not coverage. Global demand is strong. And so that's going to provide, support on breaks in here. And as we move along in here, if demand, we're not probably at levels where demand has really slowed down significantly. And so therefore, a lot of people feel the market needs to remain firm here to ration the supplies we have. But when you look at the players, the funds were long over 800,000 contracts of corn. That long position has come down to about 650,000 long contracts. So I think we just got to keep an eye on what they're doing.
Thank you much. Anything that you want to give us as a final word before I let you go for the day?
No, it's just a dynamic market. It'll be a lot different tomorrow for Wayne, of course. But like I've mentioned all along in here, bulls make money, bears make money, pigs get fat, and hogs get slaughtered.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.
Now, if you'd like to hear what Kurt had to say again, you can always do that on our website at willag.org, or you can do it a bit later this afternoon at 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail. Dave's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, BHP has abandoned its $39 billion bid for Canadian fertilizer company Potash Corporation of Saskatchewan and promised to return $4.2 billion to shareholders through a previously suspended buyback program. Industry Canada, the country's business ministry, last week said it would block BHP's current bid to take over Potash Corporation, giving the miner 30 days to appeal. It was the first major takeover to be spiked by the Canadian government in decades. South Korean officials are striking an upbeat note that talks to iron out U.S. concerns about a free trade deal signed 3 years ago will conclude soon, despite missing a deadline set by their leaders. Trade negotiators, meeting since last week, could not conclude talks to resolve U.S. industry and lawmakers' concerns that the deal does not do enough to open South Korea's market to U.S. autos and beef. Assistant U.S. Trade Representative Wendy Cutler met South Korea's chief free trade negotiator on Friday in a three-hour session seen as coordinating discussions in weeks ahead. Cutler declined to answer questions after that meeting. Argentina's foreign minister says that nation is in talks with China over exporting corn to the Asian country, which does not currently buy Argentine corn due to curbs on genetically modified varieties. Argentina officials say a sanitary protocol is being discussed that would give Argentina access to the Chinese market. A statement from Argentina's foreign minister says that China will import some 5 million tons of corn in 2011, up 150% from this year. China officials say they will adopt various measures to boost economic demand and ensure private consumption rises continuously and quickly as its contribution to global economic development. China's perceived lack of action in these areas was one issue raised by other G20 leaders during a recent two-day meeting. Media reports from Seoul indicate China is contemplating an acceleration of adjustments in income distribution, increasing residents' income, expanding consumption credit, and strengthening the commercial logistics system. The Federal Bank of Kansas City says that farmland values in the plains surged during the third quarter, driven by rising farmer incomes and stronger interest for investors. Irrigated cropland was up 9.6% versus the prior year in the district, which includes Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Colorado, Wyoming, and western Missouri. Non-irrigated farmland was up 6.4%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. Up next, the Extension Agricultural Engineers right here on campus have been working on a cheap and easy biofilter for hoghouse fans. I'll have more on what they've found and how it can be a usable solution to keep down the smell. The problem with biofilters is that they cost a lot, too much, in fact. A pig farmer cannot afford to buy one and still make money. Ted Funk wondered if it might be possible to build one from things already on the farm, or that were cheap to buy and easy to set up. As it happens, the answer is a sweet-smelling yes.
The materials we're using for the container are mainly built around the a precast silo stave, so the 30-inch long silo stave, 10 inches wide. And it's something that you can pop together in a fairly short order. It doesn't require any poured and reinforced concrete. We're using fairly inexpensive materials for flooring, that is for this porous floor that the air comes up through. We're concentrating on things like wood pallets and chicken flooring, things like that, that they're easily accessible, easy to work with, and fairly low cost.
It works, and Ted Funk says if a farmer were to contact him at the University of Illinois, he could provide enough design information for the farmer to build one. It'd be worth it, too. Here's how the biofilter does the job.
Well, a biofilter is just a layer of organic medium. Think of it as, say, wood chips with some compost mixed in. And what happens if that medium is kept moist, you get a bacterial film growing on the outside of those particles. You get a biofilm that's able to capture these odorous chemicals in the air coming from our ventilation fans, and they're able to use those as nutrients and then they what they spit out is something that doesn't have any odor, carbon dioxide, water. So they are able to, the biofilter is able to reduce odors typically 80 to 90%, which is almost magic.
It's almost magic because the smelly air goes in, and when it comes out a few seconds later, it doesn't smell.
We designed these biofilters to have a retention time of, say, 5 to 15 seconds of the air in the filter. And that's, you know, an average retention. We call it an empty bed retention time. So, you know, it does take some time because a couple processes have to happen. First, those gases have to be adsorbed into that biofilm, that moist biofilm. And then the bacteria get a chance to work on them. So they're captured first in the biofilm, and then they're degraded into something that doesn't have an odor.
Funk says the wood chips and the biofilter should last about 3 years. The old ones, just compost now, could be spread like manure. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason, and on the phone line with us today is Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about, I suspect there's not much in the way of movement at this point in time, but lots of calls and questions about what the market is doing, I suppose.
Yes, a lot of shocked farmers and nervous farmers last week and even this morning, but with the rebound in prices, I think a lot of people have calmed down now and and can go back to basically, marketing, getting their sights set and putting orders in at levels they thought they were going to get hit and not have to pull offers and chase the market lower.
So are your expectations here that sort of this was a dump of the market last week, taking some profits, and then it settled back out and will consolidate over time here?
I think consolidated in a relatively short period of time. I still think we're trending higher. I don't think we've seen our highs yet. The fact that China is talking to Argentina about buying corn tells me that they're looking to buy corn, that they're short corn. Their internal price over there in their country is close to $9 a bushel already. I don't think they want to have food wars or food riots. They don't think they want to be short food. So I think China has proven that they will buy soybeans to satisfy their needs, and I think corn is just around the corner, and when they do, that'll be another leg up for the corn market.
Yeah, so what really in your mind is happening is they're working out the phytosanitary issues, that's the trade issues, that most of which I think have already been worked out for the United States in trade to China.
Yeah, and it may take longer for private companies, for a transaction to occur from a private company to a private company from Argentina or the U.S. to China, but governments can swap bushels a lot easier. I think they can get the paperwork done a lot quicker. So this could happen sooner rather than later.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn tonight is 552, January 557, next fall 484. Cash beans are 1256, January 1276, next fall 1149, and new crop wheat 658.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. You can hear him again online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Back in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1660, Asher Levy from Portugal applied for a license to sell kosher meat. He was the first kosher butcher in New Amsterdam, that's New York. In 1848, John Thorpe died, an American inventor. He created the ring spinning machine, which replaced Samuel Compton's spinning mule in the world's textile mills because of its greater productivity and simplicity. In 1783, Sarah Josephine Baker was born. an American physician, she was a pioneer in public health and child welfare. Among her many contributions, establishment of the Bureau of Child Hygiene and free milk clinics, which in part made the New York City infant mortality rates the lowest of its day in the U.S. or Europe. In 1887, German scientist Carl Gassner was issued a U.S. patent for the first dry cell battery, very much like the carbon-zinc batteries sold today. And in 1967, Elmer McCollum died, an American biochemist. He discovered vitamins A and B and worked with others on vitamin D. He recognized that a healthy diet required certain fats as well as nutrients including calcium, phosphorus, fluorine, manganese, and zinc. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, is here to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Todd. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Tell me about the weather forecast here in the Midwest to begin with. It's colder than it has been for a while.
Yeah, and we see temperatures actually being on the variable side here much of this week, as we do see temperatures oscillating here as these frontal systems push through the Midwest. They will be associated with some precip across the region here, although at least in the short term over the next couple of days, a bulk of precip actually looks to fall south and east of the Midwest. A little bit more precip coming up later on this week. So kind of a classic fall pattern here, nothing that out of the ordinary across much of the Midwest. We are going to see much colder temperatures begin to work their way into the western portion of Canada, but at this time there's just simply no sign over the next couple of weeks of those temperatures here barreling down south into the Midwest, which would produce a real first batch of wintry weather here this season.
Can you talk about precipitation and rainfall in those areas of southern Illinois, Indiana, the Ohio River Valley that have been awfully dry, whether there's any proposition for them to get back on track with precip? And then there are parts of the hard red winter growing regions, too, that I believe are still quite dry in the United States.
Yeah, right. Answering your first question, Todd, in regards to the Midwest, at this time, the acreage here that you just mentioned, yeah, has been some of the driest acreage, not only during the past month, but over the past 3 months, dating back since the latter portion of summer here, starting in late August, when the dryness began to really evolve across the region. Over the next 10 days, we see some opportunities, but not enough to bring you up to par. And in fact, it looks like the potential of the most significant precip is not until really about a week out from now. So that makes it, very debatable at this time. But overall, we continue to feel that this overall drier bias that's been in place over the past few months will continue as we round out the month of November.
And then into those hard red winter wheat growing regions, will they get any rainfall?
No, we don't see that much in the way of precip here coming up. Now, there were some pockets in Kansas, Oklahoma, late last week that received some significant precip here, but it was a far cry from any kind of significant reduction in the dryness across the hard red acreage in the plains. And coming up, we see very limited rainfall across that area as well. So that continues to be a concern. And, yeah, you're getting to the point here where it's getting too late for precip to make that much of a difference, at least to get any of the remaining crop that hasn't been planted due to dryness into the ground with ample soil moisture.
And if you could, a quick discussion of South America and the growing regions there.
Yeah, at this time, I guess the area that's worth watching is Argentina and far southern Brazil. It's been particularly dry in the northern sections of Argentina over the past month, and that's extended into portions of Uruguay and far southern Brazil. snow. And at this time, there's just no sign of any real widespread significant rain to make up those soil moisture deficits across the area. The time frame where there at least is some opportunity for precip is coming up over the upcoming weekend and early next week. We think it's going to be more of a scattered producer versus anything that widespread, but that's at least some opportunity here coming up to improve soil moisture.
Thanks much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo with Chesapeake Energy. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been the Closing Market Report.